Father, I have faith that you can heal my body. Father, I have faith you can restore our finances, Lord. I have faith that you can restore families, Lord. I have faith that you can deliver us from any stronghold, any addiction, any habit that's over our life. I have faith that no matter how bad it looks, you can still show up and deliver me out. I have faith that those that are lost that we are praying for will be saved and be found. I have faith that you have a purpose for this ministry. I have faith that there's a purpose and calling for our lives individually. I have faith that you are a glorious God and that there is nothing that you cannot do in our life. I have the faith to produce the atmosphere for you to work a miracle in our life. So we love you and we praise you. In Jesus' name, amen. Take your seat, let's have a little word in the Lord. I kind of actually, you know, I feel it's a twofold feel. I feel sometimes sorry for those that children and everybody that shows up that's kind of getting hit with a lot of word that's a developing word and real strong for leadership, but I really believe that people in this season that's a part of this ministry have great leadership on their life.
Yes.
And I would be amiss being a youth pastor for all those years. It does not matter your age. Mm-hmm. It does not matter your age. If you feel you have a call on your life and you may not understand it, please see one of us so we can help you get there.
Amen.
Amen. Well, since it's just us, I'm not going to be long, but you know, God's just really dealing with us. Turn to the book of Philippians. The book of Philippians chapter 2. I'm so excited about this season. The more clarity you get from God, the more excited you can get at times. And I'm just excited about our season. I'm excited about how this is such a safe house for us right now. It's such a comfortable house for all of us. I'm excited. We're getting prepared and we're getting worked out for when God moves us and begins to open us up to the world. So I'm thankful. I'm extremely thankful. We are coming in April, May. In 3 months, we would have been established for a year.
Wow.
That time went by really fast.
Yes.
In 3 months from 16th, it'll be a year for us. So we're doing good. We're still a healthy ministry. We're healthy in our finances. We are very disciplined in our finances. We're just healthy. And we have leadership, as Pastor Anna has said many times, that we really were diligent and working hard because we did not want to be the leaders that we would have been exposed to. Don't be going and trying to figure out where our old church is. Just leadership across the board. Philippians chapter 2, verse 12 through 15. Philippians chapter 2, verse 12 through 15. Wherefore, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Do all things without murmuring and disputings. Do all things. That's rough right there. All things. That just stood out to me. All things. I thought it said do things. Do all things without murmurings and disputings. That ye may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom ye shine as lights in the world. Amen?
Amen.
That's a good scripture. Let's pray. Father, I just pray for your anointing. We want to do everything in your name. We want to be of good pleasure today. Speak, great God, in the way that you can. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's get into the word of God. I like crowds like this because I can be a little bit more heavy-handed, and I know people are not going to get offended, and we can stretch us a little bit. I want you to know that if you see me walk away from my notes, I'm not from my notes. I do study. I do take notes. I do. It's just how God, and if you was to play back the message, it would look like my notes. It's just how God works. I just want y'all to know that. I do study. Amen. Okay. So Paul here is talking to the Philippian church, and he starts in verse 12, and he said, "Wherefore, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed, not in my presence only, but now much more in my absence." We, as the children of God, as we are obedient to God, as we grow in God and stay obedient, we have learned to be obedient when Christian walk or presence is around us. What Paul is saying to the Philippian church, because Paul was the Christian walk and the Christian presence, because he was birthing all these churches. So he was like the big bishop that walked around. So he was around, people acted right. What he was telling the church was, you are doing it so much more now in my absence. We as the children of God, us leaders, us mature ones, we have to get to the point where our walk looks the same when Christian presence is around and when I'm in the car by myself, or when I'm in the house by myself, or when I'm in just relationships that I know it ain't what I do in this relationship, y'all will never hear about. You know, how I talk to my wife or how I treat my significant other, you'll never hear about that, so I kind of act how I want to act. We have to learn to be obedient when Christian walk is not around. Why is that so important? Because it denotes relationship with God. It denotes an intimacy with God and a relationship, because you want to be right just because you know God is around. All right? So we got that part. That is something we have to do. But now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. To work out means to accomplish or finish your salvation. Accomplish or finish your salvation with fear and trembling. Well, Pastor, my salvation is finished because I'm saved. Well, let's talk. Being saved is to be accepting Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, understanding his death, burial, and resurrection is your pardon for sin. It's what he paid. He paid the price. So now you can, doesn't matter when you do it, how you do it, your sin, the price is paid for. That's salvation. That's saved, excuse me. Salvation is a safe and healthy deliverance state of being. Safe and healthy deliverance state of being. Okay? Salvation. So we should accomplish and finish that. Most of us, this is the reason why Paul said, work out your own salvation. I can't work out your walk with God. So you can look 100% right to me, and it looked like you working it out real good. But God knows how much of you, the percentage of you, is not right. So safe. If salvation is for me to be safe, it's for me to be healthy, and it's for me to be in a state of deliverance. Most Christians spend their entire walk with God until death trying to get salvation accomplished and finished. When God intended us for us to be in complete accomplishment of salvation, have complete deliverance, safety, and be healthy. That's his goal for us, to get to that fullness and then continue on and work. Most of us is working in the kingdom and getting beat up because we can't get the fullness of salvation. Now, safe. What is for me to be safe? Have my salvation for me to be safe. Safe is being in the will of God. In the will of God. I'm going to make it a little bit more applicable. It's like being, okay, when I was growing up, my parents' house was safe to me. No matter how much I ran the streets and did stupid stuff, when I rolled up in that driveway, I knew I was safe. I was cool. All I had to do was get in the house, and I was safe. But my father had certain rules. If you want to be in this house, you can stay. You never would kick me out. You can stay here as long as you want, but you have to abide by my rules. To be in the safety of God, we have to abide by his rules. Yeah. You see what I'm saying? Yeah. Now, there was a time that my father said, look here, boy, you're not abiding by the rules, so the outside is about to look like your home. And I realized that the outside wasn't as safe as the inside. Uh-huh. as the mature ones in Christ, we have to get to a place where we finally realize being out of the will of God is not safe. Being in the will of God, and I know it's hard, y'all. I know it's hard. Especially with the way we teach, because we dig as deep as you can dig. We don't deal with surface stuff. Don't shoot nobody, don't kill nobody. We don't deal with that stuff. We dig deep in this ministry. So I know it's hard, but we have to look at what's happening. You can't tell me just from the natural things that's happening and then the fall we see in the churches and just people in our lives, we see them being hit and attacked. And in our own lives, we like, man, I being unsafe. See, the streets, when I ran the streets, what all it did was abuse me and cause me to get hurt and afflicted. And then I carried stuff back into my parents' house. You see what I'm saying? Then I risk, you know, being a certain way toward the people that are putting a shelter on me. So that's why we want to get in the safety of God and the will of God, but we bring so much junk back in the wheel, then he has to send the wind, send the earthquake, send the fire to get that stuff out. So safety is in the will of God. Please, please, young or old, in the will of God is where the safety is. Outside the will of God is where it's not. Now help me. There is no easy way to say this. If I went back to the trash can, didn't look in it, pulled the bag out, and started licking the bag. You should see her. What? And I started licking the bag. First thing, y'all would be like, that is so nasty.
Yes.
And he gonna get sick.
Yeah.
For us as Christians to be healthy, we have to stop licking this world. Because it is just as nasty as a trash bag.
Yes.
And I don't care how I look. It might be the trash bag that got the perfume smell and you be like, it'll be all right. Or, you know, you drop something on the floor and you know, we all, you know, we got the 5 second rule. Blow it off. You better eat that, boy. You know how that is, boy. My father's thing is, Lord, it won't hurt you. Just go ahead. It is not going to hurt you. We have that. But for us to be healthy, we have to cleanse ourselves of sin. It's away with this attitude that, you know what, I can be wrong, I can mess up, and I still be healthy spiritually. No, you'll still be saved, you'll still have a calling, you'll still have a purpose, but spiritually, you'll need some medicine. You'll be sick, you'll be afflicted. It'll be like licking the trash. You don't know what you're gonna get. When we indulge in sin, we don't know what the return is.
Yeah.
When you indulge in righteousness and doing good, you know what the return is. You know, certain people you know you can help, and they will give a return. Somebody needs some money, you know you can give them $20. You know next week they give it back. Some people, you give them $20, you don't count that money coming back. You just give them $20 and you keep on because you don't know what's gonna return. We have to be a people that says, you know what? This right here is extremely tempting. I've been doing it for a long time. This is just who I am, whatever excuse you're gonna use. But realize, I don't know the return that's coming back. And right now, the enemy is not playing fair. We depositing 5%, he giving back 50.
Yes.
It's like, I ain't asked for all this. I was trying to have a little good time. You gave me a whole bunch of bad stuff. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So he's doing that stuff. And then deliverance is just being in a place of letting God keep you. We know too much word, too much prayer, and have too much, you know, with God in us to know that God can't keep us. Got to start trusting God to keep you. Let me tell you what the enemy does to prove to us God can't keep us. The enemy will allow us to get out here and make a lot of mistakes, get somewhere and end some fashions, some bad habits that we're not supposed to have, and then we turn and blame God for not keeping us. It don't work like that. Trust God to keep you. As long as you breathe and he's still keeping you, he'll still work it out. But what we teach is sometimes the wind, the earthquake, and the fire is not fun, don't feel good. That's why it's important to get into righteousness and out of sin. Let's not add most of them. We got enough bad habits. Let's not add most of them, all right?
Yeah.
All right. So to work out your own salvation, that whole thing we should talk about salvation. Fear and trembling. I don't know if everybody was here when the fire alarm went off here, or like when y'all was in school and the fire alarm went off, or if you at home and fire alarm get off. Then when the fire alarm goes off, there's an ascent. That word fear in the Greek means alarm. It means an alarm, you know, it means to be alarmed. But there's a sense, when there's an alarm, there's an urgency. Nobody hears the fire alarm go off and say, okay, let me pack my clothes, box up all my stuff, put tape on it, box every dish with some newspaper. No, nobody do that. You hear the alarm, it's an urgency, I need to do something. So you tell me why as Christians, we don't have the urgency to get out of sin, defeat, chaos, and destruction. We hear the alarm. We see the alarm. God will show you the alarm. You will see some mess. That shows you how blind we are. We can see, I'm walking, and it's a whole bunch of mess, and I walk directly toward it. We see it. That's how much we struggle with the natural man. Y'all don't act all holier than not. Y'all know we struggle, and you walk right into it. Some of us talk to ourselves the whole time we walking into something we not, but I know better than this. Man, this ain't gonna do me no good. Lord, please keep me while I'm here. We understand. So it's a fear, urgency. Now, trembling, I love this. I'm gonna really challenge you on this one, okay? Okay?
Okay.
All right, I just wanted to make sure y'all can. I'm gonna really challenge you. Trembling is a physical reaction to an inner fear, okay? It's a physical reaction to an inner fear. I always know when I get a right definition because I look at my mother and she shake her head, yes, like that is right. So I don't even think she knows she do it, but I'm like, okay, I got that word right. It's a physical reaction to an inner fear. Now, the Bible said, Paul is saying, work out your salvation with fear and trembling. So we should have an urgency, right?
Yes.
And that urgency is inside. So what should happen is we should have such an urgency inside to get out of sin, defeat, chaos, destruction, not being in victory, all that stuff. The urgency should be so bad that physically we shake. And what I mean by that is physically you do something different. Why as Christians we got such an urgency to get it right and physically don't move? Don't do nothing, we don't change, we don't hold our tongue, we don't control ourselves. We have such an urgency. We got the fear part right. We don't have no trembling in our lives. Why is it we know, okay, you know, I know life ain't promised. I know stuff is hard. I know I'm messing up and I got an urgency to get it right. But it never makes me do anything different. As the mature ones, we got to make that switch. We need trembling. Fear is not enough. Urgency to get it right should be so much that I'm trembling physically. I got to do something different. So I have an urgency to get it right that when you say something to me out of pocket, I will physically not say nothing to you. I'm going to tremble my way to not say something back, okay? So that is something I want you to take this week to really ask yourself, where are you trembling? You know, or do you just have fear? Is it an urgency with no physical reaction? I need you to ask yourself that this week. Okay. For it is God which working in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Now, I can be really, really this way because of the crowd. I'm going to be very blunt. And I won't be going examining other people's lives. Examine your own. But you will see it in other people's lives. But examine your own. The more mature you get in God, the less excuses you use for not doing his good pleasure. When you see yourself and other people use a lot of excuses not to do his good pleasure, it's just immaturity in God. There is no better way to put it. And I know that's hard and it seems judgmental. It's the truth, but we should judge our own lives. Because I realize the more mature I get in God, the less I can use an excuse.
Yeah.
It's like a kid. When you're 7 or 4 or 3 and you know, if you pee in the bed, you can use all types of excuses. When you 15 and you pee in the bed, you really ain't got no excuses. I mean, y'all see what I'm saying? I mean, I pee probably a little bit late in my life. I can remember my dad, boy, you is too old for this. There ain't no excuse for this. And forget all the don't drink water late, you is too old for this. So some of us are too old in God. We are like some 15, 20 year olds still peeing in the bed, using the excuse of, I don't know what happened. Lord help me. So we have to, now I want you to catch this. He said, for it is God which worketh in you both two things, to will and to do of his good pleasure. Why is it that we believe God to impress his will upon us, but don't believe him to help us walk it out. We know God will impress his will. Lord, I know you want me to do this. I know it's your will for me to do this. But we stop with that and don't believe him to help me walk it out. But to walk it out, you got to stay in his presence, get instruction. Most of us don't want to be told what to do. We get told all day long what to do by somebody. And we pay attention. And we do it because we get a paycheck. Ain't that weird? That's the weirdest thing in the world. I get a paycheck, so I do what you say. But my soul is on the line. I'm going to do what I want to do. Man, that's rough. But we have to trust God to do his will and that he can do it, that he can impress his will upon us and he can give us instruction to do it. Now, let's get to the good ones. Do all things without murmurings and disputings. All things without murmurings and disputings. The word murmur means to do something grudgingly. Okay? And the word disputings mean to debate. Okay? Grudgingly and debate. Now I'm trying to think of an example that's very applicable, and I'll use youth pastor days because it's very good. Now our order was for youth church, we would go downstairs while praise and worship was going on, then we would, you know, get our lesson, then we would go upstairs and worship with the church and hear the word from the pastor. Getting them kids upstairs was the hardest thing I have ever done in my life. Now let me show you what grudgingly is. I would say, come on y'all, it's time to go upstairs. And you would have one person just be like, man, I really don't want to go. And I have to physically, you know, drag them. Y'all know grudgingly kids where they ain't saying nothing. They just not moving. You know, they not back talking. But you can tell from their attitude and how they look, they do not want to do what you ask them to do. That's the grudgingly part. God is spending so much time. God's over there in our victory area saying, come on. We make God walk all the way down to get us and actually drag us grudgingly to our victory. Okay, you got that? Now, the disputing key is to debate. I would be like, come on, let's go upstairs. And the kid would say, well, you know, I don't learn nothing up there. I understand that we gotta go upstairs. Well, it's hot up there. Well, I understand that. Let's go upstairs. But them old people stink. Like, I heard everything to debate. You know, I don't want to sit by them old people. They make me sit up front. They stink. And you hear that. And this, let me tell you this. Everything the kid said was absolutely true. And I understood it. But we still had to do what was set in place. God understands our debate. Because most of the time when we debate, we justify it. God, why I gotta hold my tongue? She didn't call me all out my name, and I can't say nothing. We will debate with God, and yeah, somebody get out of pocket with me, I'm gonna feel justified to get out of pocket with them. It doesn't mean that I can do it. We have to get to the point where we stop debating with God. Even though you justify, if you hear God say, do this, you're disputing and murmuring. We have to stop debate. Y'all can look how y'all want to look. I know I debate with God. I have my conversations with God. Y'all know the areas of your life you debate. Whether you're debating in your head, whether you're debating out loud. You know you debate with God. And I know it's hard. Temptation is, as me and Elder Keisha say, temptation is a beast. It is difficult. It is a very hard thing. Temptation is not easy. And it doesn't matter how long you get saved, don't get no easier. You just get stronger in God. That's why I say in his safe, in his will is safe. You get stronger. So we have to stop debating with God. I want you to this week catch yourself. Catch yourself. When something happens, I want you to catch it. I know I'm debating, Lord. I'm sorry. And just do what he said. I just want to see you get through it. I just want to see you do it. I know it's hard. Y'all can't tell me it ain't hard. I know it's hard within myself. It is. Alright, last point, verse 15. That ye may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom ye shine as lights in the world. This is a very, you know, simple thing for us to understand. I'm gonna start with the last part first. Y'all see the world today. We have to be the ones that shine.
Yes.
Understand the Bible. The world is going to continue to get darker. And in the sense of people and character. God is not going to just flip on light throughout the world. That's what he put us here for. The world is going to get darker. What we have to do is get brighter. Mm-hmm. world's getting darker, and we know it. Christians, we falling off left and right. 7 out of 10 people who enter ministry drop out. So we not staying. But the ones that are here, we are the same. Okay. How many of y'all know y'all should be a 9 vote, but y'all a AAA back? Y'all like the little flashlight that you gotta get all the way up there for the light for the circle to be bright enough? When you should be the big, you know, car broken down flashlight that shine everywhere. We can't be AAA batteries in this huge dark world. I dare you to take one of them little flashlights and go out on the freeway in the dark and try to see yourself. You're gonna get hit, you're gonna fall off the freeway, you're gonna get lost. But if you have a big light, you can see where you're going. The darkness of the world is not getting better. It's going to get worse. And if we are shining AAA batteries, they don't know where to go. We have to shine brighter. God, we know that the Christian walk is not about us. I mean, it's a big part about you getting it right. But we have to shine. We know what it's like to be with God. And even though we ain't all the way right and we ain't perfect, we still want people to come this way. We don't want to be, you know, leading them the wrong way. So this week, I want you to ask yourself, okay, in this situation, am I AAA or am I 9 volt or big old battery? You know, no more AAA batteries. And then the last part was the first part of that verse, blameless and harmless. We understand blameless. We hear that enough in this ministry. But for us tonight, I just want to talk about being harmless. Do you know Christians is probably the only group of people that abuse the same kind? We are so abusive to our own kind, intentionally and unintentionally. We say we're Christians, and in their life, in a person's life, we show everything but Christianity, and we are harming people with our walk. I know people are not supposed to follow you, they're supposed to follow God. But the reality is, people pay attention to you. Let me say this, if I'm in the darkness, complete darkness, and you over there with this light, the little light, the AAA battery light, and you're looking around, and I'm in dark, the first thing I'm going to do is go try to find a little bit of light. Then I get over by you, and you hit me with the light, saying, "This my light, you know, get out of my light." You do something offensive to me, and now all I have, only choice I have is to run back to the dark. Yeah. We as Christians are harming other Christians and those that are lost. We can't continue. I'm so heavy with this with us is because when God releases us to the world, people are going to come running in. And I don't care if you feel you this or that, but when they first time coming to church and they see us, now y'all are the light whether you want to be or not. Yeah. And so if they see you in the grocery store cussing out the clerk, they're going to say, "I don't like that light, it's dim. I'm going this." You see what I'm saying? So we hurting the laws and we hurting Christians. So it's a lot of things I asked y'all to do this week. But I really want y'all to try to do it. Understand, is there a physical reaction to the urgency? You know, really, really see where you at. Because we have to start being harmless. We are so abusive as Christians. Because we'll talk God and show you devil. Jesus. Talk God all day, show you devil. Just talk. I'm done, but I just gotta say this. I got to work the first day on the job, I met every Christian. Second day on the job, I met every devil, same person. Wow. Same people. We can't keep talking God and showing devil, because people gonna pay attention to what you're doing. Yeah. Let me see you walk first, then I can hear what you're saying. So we gotta be harmless. Start really looking at your life. Okay? Yeah. All right, let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. Yeah. We will apply it to our lives. And we ask that you walk with us this week, convict us this week. We will not debate you this week. We will not be grudging this week. We will shine as a 9 volt or a bigger battery, Lord. We will be harmless this week. Help us, Lord, to grow in you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Yeah. Amen.
Good.